To the worship team, bless you guys. Thank you so much. I thought I was going to get raptured halfway through that worship today. Oh, it's so beautiful. Such a blessing. Just wanted to mention a few quick announcements. For those who haven't noticed, we had to get rid of the King's Cupboard this week. So this is something where we were having free food available for people. Unfortunately, there'd been a whole lot of vandalism recently around the building. And through discussions with our landlord, we had to get rid of it and submit to our authority. Now, I'm heartbroken about that because I loved that ministry. I thought it was great. But because of a few incidences with the other tenants, we had to get rid of it. So if anybody does need emergency food, there's a phone number there and we can provide it for you. We just can't leave it out outside the building. If we owned the building and we had it to ourselves, we would have it there. But it's not our building, and maybe one day we will own it, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's keep believing for that. So I just wanted to mention that little bit of sad news. A little bit of exciting news too. We saw 26 people come to know Jesus on Friday. Hallelujah. Give God glory for that. And just a quick testimony. Brick housing over here we've been going to for many, many years. And sometimes we'll go there with the meals and we might get three or four people come out. But there's been a whole bunch of people that are getting trained through TAFE in their high-vis vests. And for week after week after week after week, we've been faithfully going there, inviting them to get a meal, pray for them. Anyway, last Friday was their last Friday because they're off to do their TAFE training was finished. And so a bunch of us turned up there and they all came out for food this week. And I said, guys, just before we hand out the meal, can I just share a quick message with you all? And so I shared the gospel with them all. And I said, if anybody wants to give your life to Jesus, just put up your hand and we'll pray with you. And five of them gave their heart to Jesus on Friday. Praise God. You know, Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you'll reap a harvest. Amen? And we saw that harvest on Friday. And many other places, we saw people come to know Jesus. So if you do want help on Fridays, turn up here at 9 a.m. And we're always looking for volunteers to help us on a Friday. Now, the Bridge to Brisbane's coming up. Who's doing the Bridge to Brisbane? Yep, a whole bunch of us have signed up for it. If you want to sponsor any of these guys, please do so. It's on the 7th of November, and it's going to be a great day. And we're really encouraging people to sponsor someone. And if you want to sign up, please see Rachel or Bobby or Chris or one of us, and we'll organise for you to sign up. And also just wanted to mention that this month for New Hope Care, we're doing a special fundraiser for Fiji. So if you have clothes, Manchester shoes or accessories, please contact Eddie or Bobby and you can donate them. And we're sending them over in a shipping container to Fiji. And all the funds raised from that goes towards New Hope Care as well. So please see them if you want to donate anything. Also, just wanted to mention there's a brother visiting today named Kane who needs furniture for his house. If anybody has furniture they can donate to this brother, please see Pastor Chris or go to the What Now table and we'll organise that. And also next Sunday, we've got Pastor Bill Newman coming to preach. Who's heard of Bill before? He's a great evangelist, great man of God. Encourage you to come back for that and bring your friends next Sunday. And also just wanted to mention, please keep Carol's family in your prayers. I did a funeral on Thursday for her Auntie Joyce. And thankfully, we led Auntie Joyce to the Lord a couple of months ago. She prayed the sinner's prayer, gave her heart to the Lord. And she knew her time was up soon. And I was able to preach the gospel at the funeral as well. Please keep Carol's family in your prayers as well. Okay, now I wanted to invite Pastor Chris up just for the start of the message today. And I wanted to just ask Pastor Chris just to help me with a couple of things. So last Sunday, I preached a message called The Secrets of the Secret Place. And I really wanted to encourage everyone to learn how to get into the secret place. Who's been in the secret place praying this week? I know a bunch of people have told me that since last Sunday's message, they've made a decision. I think Natalie Marshall told me they made a decision. Every day, they're getting in the secret place. They're opening God's Word and they're praying together because you need to make an appointment with the Lord. Now, just imagine Pastor Chris is fast asleep in the morning and then he wakes up.
Good morning, Jesus!
That's the way to start the day, isn't it? Actually, we might grab another microphone for Pastor Chris as well while we're here. They say that there's two ways you can wake up in the morning. You can either say, good morning, Lord, or good Lord, it's morning. Best way to wake up is to say, good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord. Just let me wash my face and grab a cup of coffee and I'll come and spend some time with you, Jesus. Don't go away. I'm on my way.
Okay. So imagine Pastor Chris in his unit over at Kelvin Grove. Vicky's fast asleep still, or she's off doing her quiet time anyway.
Or she's been up for 3 hours already.
Or she's been up already praying and interceding. So imagine Pastor Chris.
My Bible. Wow.
He's going to pray and seek the Lord. So, Pastor Chris, what do you do for your Bible readings?
Well, I've got this app called Olive Tree, and I look at it. It's a daily Bible reading plan. It just so happens that today, one of my favorite passages, Philippians 4, is coming on the screen. And it said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Lord, I know that my son's in a critical condition in Houston there. Somebody said he can't make it. But you said in your word that your glory is revealed. This sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God be revealed. Reveal your glory in his resurrection. Reveal your glory in his healing in Jesus' name. And I thank you.
Amen.
Because I believe that you've answered my prayer.
Amen.
And the peace of God that passes all understanding is guarding my heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
Okay, so this is how Pastor Chris would be starting his day every day. And just so you know.
In a perfect world.
And just so you know, that is a legitimate prayer.
Amen.
Pastor Chris shared on Facebook yesterday that his son is in ICU at a hospital in the US with COVID.
That's right.
In Houston. And we've been praying for his healing.
Amen.
And anybody going to commit themselves to praying for his healing?
Thank you.
Amen. We believe together for his
Amen.
Healing. So
Hallelujah.
That's how you'd start your day. You'd be in the Word.
That's right.
You'd be praying.
That's it.
Claiming healing for your son.
Yes.
And Pastor Chris, do you ever get distracted when you do your devotions in the morning?
I'm not listening to that voice right now. The Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon, so she came to test him with hard questions.
Okay.
That's what it says.
Let's just pause here for a moment. So one of my favorite books I've ever read is called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. Who's heard of that book? C.S. Lewis, the author of The Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe, the Narnia series,
Hallelujah.
Talks about a senior demon
Hallelujah.
Coaching his nephew demon
Hallelujah.
And how to distract Christians.
Amen.
And you know that these
Thank
demons,
Jesus.
They go into church
Hallelujah.
And they try and distract people.
Amen.
Anybody here get distracted during the sermon sometimes? Yeah?
Amen.
That's what the demons do. They. And so just imagine for a moment Pastor Chris
Hallelujah.
Is doing his worship and then a demon turns up and just says,
Hallelujah.
Why don't you give that up, mate? You're not going to do any good today.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you go and call someone? You've got to get
Amen.
On the phone to
Thank
someone.
You, Lord. Well, I'll make a note of that, and I'll do that after my time of prayer, after my hour of prayer.
Didn't you need to go and buy some fresh milk? What if your wife wants a cuppa this morning and there's no milk? Go and get some milk instead.
I will do that after my time of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Put Jesus first. He's given me a land flowing with milk and
you
honey.
You know, you sinned the other day.
Hallelujah.
You're not worthy
Thank you,
to
Jesus.
Be in the presence of God. You've got
Hallelujah.
Sin in your life.
Hallelujah.
You are no good, mate.
Oh, I
you,
thank you,
you
Lord.
You shouldn't read that Bible. You're a hypocrite.
Thank you, Lord.
You're a fake and a phony. Stop doing it.
Thank you, Lord, that you've given me power over the voice of the enemy. Your word says in Exodus 12:13 that no plague will come near my dwelling because my dwelling is under the blood and the worthiness is in the blood, not in me. I'm going to remind the devil of his future when he reminds me about my past. You're going to spend eternity in hell. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Get thee behind me in Jesus' name.
So the Bible tells Hallelujah. Us, submit to God, resist Hallelujah. The devil, and he'll flee from you. So I've got to fly. I literally have to flee
oh,
now.
That's a good one.
That's what happens when
Hallelujah.
We're doing our...
Yes.
Does anybody get distracted like that when they're doing their quiet time?
Oh, yes.
You've got to do what this brother does.
The next morning, Jesus woke up very early. He left the house while it was still dark and went to a place where he could pray and be alone. Thank you, Lord, for my balcony where I can pray and be alone.
So what kind of scriptures would
Jesus
you quote
name.
That old hairy legs the devil when he comes and tries to distract
Submit
you?
Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
What else? Come on.
Sometime I sing, there is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain.
And you know what? When he sings and he worships, you know where the devil actually is?
I'm so out of tune, he just doesn't want to listen anymore. Oh, yeah. There you go. In Jesus' name, thank you. You've given me authority to tread underfoot serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. You know what helps us to overcome the power of the enemy? Knowing the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God. Hallelujah.
You know, the Bible says that Satan is under our feet.
That's right.
And he actually hasn't got any feet. He's been defeated.
He's been defeated and disarmed.
He's got no arms. He's disarmed as well.
That's right.
Hallelujah. We have authority over the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
And when a man of God or a woman of God knows their authority, when the devil comes in to distract you, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him.
That's right.
You've got to come in the opposite spirit of the enemy.
Jesus' name.
Just like Pastor Chris. Use the sword of the Spirit, amen. Come on, give Pastor Chris a big hand. Awesome.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I just, this morning in my devotions, I felt to just ask Pastor Chris to come and give us an example of what he does in his quiet time. And, you know, I'm not going to preach too long today because I know we've had a long service already. But I just felt to challenge you today. When you're in the secret place, don't let the devil steal your peace. Don't let him distract you. It happens to me regularly. And even this morning, I was up early. I read through the Bible every year, so I read through my passages. I was writing down what God was saying to me. And then I got distracted by this 16-year-old son of mine named Josh. Josh came out this morning. And I went, oh. I just started praying. And I went, oh, I'm going to be distracted now. And the Lord said, no, this isn't a distraction from the time with Jesus. This is an addition to your time with Jesus. And you know, one of my favorite songs is this song called Talking with Jesus. Has anybody heard that song? It's a beautiful song. It says this. Grandma used to pray out loud by her bed every night. To me, it sounded like mumbling, like she was out of her mind. She said, boy, this kind of praying is what saved my life. You ought to try it sometime. And I know she was right. She was talking to Jesus. She'd been talking to Jesus for all of her life. And then the song goes on and says, Mama used to drag me to church Sunday mornings and Wednesday night. Khaki pants and a polo shirt. Boy, I put up a fight. She said, son, one day you'll thank me for having God in your life. And yeah, I know she was right. Because now I'm talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. Yeah, my mama was right. And then here's the verse I wanted to get to about my son. It said, I've got three kids of my own now, trying to raise them up right. And in the song it says, my oldest is 15. And I remember what that was like, trying to deal with the drama, trying to figure out the questions of life. And I've been looking for a way to show him how to make it all right. And then he walked in my room while I was saying my prayers the other night. He said, I'll come back later. I can tell you got a lot on your mind. I said, it's not an interruption. You couldn't have picked a better time because I was just talking to Jesus. Come over and let's give it a try. We started talking to Jesus. We started talking to Jesus. We started talking to Jesus. And now he's talking to Jesus. Thank God he's talking to Jesus. I hope he's talking to Jesus for the rest of his life. What a friend we have in Jesus. Come on, sing along. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Whoa. You know, the song goes on and says there's no wrong way to do it. There's no bad time to start. It doesn't have to sound pretty. You just tell him what's on your heart. Because it's not a religion, because it's more like a relationship. Just talk to your father like you are his kid. Just start talking to Jesus for the rest of your life. So this morning, when my son came in, I thought it was a distraction, but it was an addition to my time with Jesus. And I was worshiping. I had some YouTube video on, and I said to Josh, can I pray for you? He goes, okay. So I went up and I laid hands on him. I said, Lord Jesus, I thank you for my son. I bless him in the name of Jesus. I pray you bless his creativity. He wants to be a screenwriter. I pray that he'll write great books like C.S. Lewis or J.R. Tolkien, that you'll raise him up to be a mighty man of God that you've called him to be. And we just sensed the presence of God as we prayed together, and we just waited in the Lord's presence together. You know, you see, sometimes a distraction can be an addition to your time in the presence of God. And you know what? I just want to challenge you. We've got to teach the next generation to talk with Jesus. We've got to pray in the secret place by ourselves with the Lord, but we also need to gather together in our homes. You know, I believe during COVID, we had lockdown, we had to have church in our homes. God wanted us to rebuild the altar of prayer in our homes. He wanted us to get back to the secret place in our homes. It's great to pray in church. I encourage you, you can come Wednesday nights. Luella's here. They've got a special prayer meeting. You can come Thursday morning. We have a special prayer meeting. You can come early on Sunday. We have a special prayer meeting. There's other times you can pray corporately. But we've got to pray in our homes. God wants every one of us to rebuild the altar of prayer in our homes. And you know, I had a bit of a rough week this week. I had the funeral for Aunty Joyce. I had the vandalism and the other tenants and the landlord that I had to deal with. I had some friends going through tough times. I had to walk with them through things. And, you know, during this week, I felt the weight of all these things bearing me down. Anybody feel like they got the weight of the world on their shoulders sometimes? Everything was just weighing me down. And I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't feeling good. I was getting headaches. It was weighing me down. And then the Lord stirred my heart at 3:30 a.m. to get up early and seek him on Wednesday. And the Lord said, cast your burdens onto Jesus because he cares for you. And you know, there's a famous quote that said, I asked God to lighten my load, but instead he strengthened my shoulders. Sometimes we ask the Lord to take everything away. Sometimes he just strengthens us. How many of you find strength when you wait in the presence of the Lord? Last week, we went through the Lord's Prayer together, and we talked about how it's a pattern for prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We start with adoration, don't we? Today I want to just teach just for a few minutes about ACTS, Acts. A. Everyone say adoration. The first thing we do when we pray and we worship God, it's the first thing we do when we come to church. We adore him. We say, hallowed be your name. We glorify him. We find scriptures about how amazing God is and we speak them out. We declare how good he is. There's power in praises. Because you know, when we praise God, it takes our eyes off our circumstances and it makes us lift up our eyes. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Matthew 24 talks about the end of days, the last days on the earth, about all the problems there's going to be. Men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes. There'll be all sorts of troubles on the beginning of sorrows. There'll be birth pains, all sorts of problems happening on the earth. And what does it say? Lift up your eyes, for your redemption draws near. Friends, we're in these last days where we're seeing earthquakes. There's another one yesterday in South Australia. There's one in Melbourne recently. Earthquakes all over the world happening right now. More and more earthquakes the world has ever seen. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars, terrorism, all sorts of wars around the world. We're seeing all sorts of things happen across the planet where people are selfish. They're disobeying their parents. We're seeing rebellion. We're seeing a great falling away, people turning away from God all across the world. But at the same time, I believe the remnant, the faithful bride who seek the Lord in the secret place will lift up their eyes, for their redemption draws near. Somebody say amen. Our redemption is drawing near. We've got to be found in the secret place. We start with adoration. And then we go through the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Everyone say confession. So the first word is adoration. The second word is confession. We've got to be confessing our sins. This morning we did that. We had people come to the altar already. My wife stole my thunder. I love it when the Holy Spirit speaks through everyone exactly what I was going to preach on anyway. Confession. Confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. James 5:16. Who wants to be healed? Confess your sins. Don't hold on to them. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who wants to be cleansed? I'm telling you, the only way to be cleansed is to confess. Maybe you've got an addiction to alcohol, an addiction to pornography, an addiction to drugs. Maybe you lie all the time. Maybe you've got some ungodly habits. Maybe you fly off in fits of rage. Maybe you've got some hidden sin that no one knows about. Confess it. Confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's power in confession. Adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. We've got to be thankful for what the Lord's doing in our life, don't we? How do we get close to the Lord? The Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, enter his courts with praise. Always be thankful for what the Lord's doing in our life. And then the last word is supplication. Everyone say supplication. We've got to learn to petition the Lord. Come before him and pray for our family. My wife and I have been praying for financial freedom for 18 years of marriage. And last week, our debts were finally all paid off. Glory to God. Because we've been petitioning and supplication and asking the Lord. We've been praying for salvation for our family for 18 years. We've seen 7 family members come to know Jesus in the last 3 months. Give God the glory for that. We've been praying for a move of God in this church, for revival in this church for 15 years as pastors. And we're seeing it in the hearts of people in our church. Give God glory for that. When we petition, when we stand in the gap, when we seek the Lord, he hears our prayers. Sometimes I wish it was sooner. And I say, Lord, I've been praying for that thing. Why haven't I got an answer yet? Sometimes he answers yes, straight away. Sometimes he answers no. Sometimes it's wait. Or sometimes it's just a whole other way that he answers our prayers. But he hears our prayers, amen? We've got to petition him. Let's remember to be in the secret place. The secrets of the secret place are found in the Lord's Prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I want to challenge you this week to find yourself in the secret place. You know, I was chatting in the car this week with Joe Jensen, one of the guys from our team, and Joe said, yeah, it's great to start the day in the secret place, but you've actually got to pray all day long as well. Some people just pray and go, oh, that's my prayer done, and then they forget about the Lord for the rest of the day. But I love what he said. He said throughout the day, he's constantly talking to the Lord. Like he'll get a blessing and he'll say, oh, thank you, Lord, for that. Or, Lord, thank you for that revelation. Or, Jesus, I just sinned. Would you convict me of that sin? Would you help me repent from that sin? You know, every day pray. And I was thinking about that this morning. I had my quiet time and worship and I prayed for Josh. And then my habit every morning is to take the puppies downstairs to do their number ones and number twos. And I have a plastic bag on my hand and I walk around the backyard and I just look for all the crap in my backyard that's everywhere. And that's what happens in our life, isn't it? We've just got to be cleaning up all the stuff in our lives, don't we? We've got to be cleaning up all the stuff. When I pray and when I worship and when I seek God, I definitely want to give him glory. And when I confess my sin, I want it cleaned up. I want to be a spotless, pure bride. And if there's stuff in your life like that dog poo, if you don't clean it up, you'll walk in it one day and it'll mess up your house. I had some on my Ugg boot the other day and I walked into the house and, man, I cleaned that thing up quicker than you could believe because Carol was about to wake up and I was going to be in trouble if she found that in the house. You've got to clean up the stuff in your life. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's unforgiveness. When you pray, it's not just asking God for things. It's asking Him to clean up your life, to wash away the sin in the water of the Word. Every day. I remember hearing a preacher once say, it's like having a dove on your shoulder. Imagine if this beautiful white dove came and landed on my shoulder right now. I'd be very aware of it, wouldn't I? I'd be walking around going, there's a dove there. And if I walked over towards someone, I'd be... When you have Jesus in your heart and you have the Holy Spirit in your life, it's like a dove is on your shoulder. Be aware of Him wherever you go, that He wants to speak through you. He wants to convict you of your sin. Jesus said when He, the Counselor, comes, the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. We have a dove on our shoulder, the Holy Spirit, who is leading us every day. He's giving us words of knowledge for people. He's giving us an anointing to heal people. He's helping us have the discerning of spirits to know what evil spirits are attacking us so we can bind and break them. When we're trying to do our devotions like Pastor Chris was before and the devil comes in, we have an anointing to overcome the enemy because the dove is on our shoulder. The Holy Spirit is with us. Chuck Smith said this, and you'll see this on your screen. Prayer is often the deciding factor in spiritual battles. The tragedy is that the enormous power available to us through prayer is so often wasted because we do not pray. Billy Graham said this, you can be in a crowd and just for a moment there is a sense of loneliness, even with friends. What is this loneliness? It's a loneliness for God. We were created for God. And without God, there will always be a sense of loneliness. Maybe you relate to that. The only way that you'll find true hope, true love, true peace, and freedom from that loneliness is when you can be alone with God. That's the secret of the secret place. When you're alone with God, you're in His Word, you're worshiping Him, you're hearing from Him, that's where you'll find your true contentment. Pastor Chris shared that verse accidentally this morning, but God incidentally this morning, that we find the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, to guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 7. When we know Jesus in the secret place, we'll receive that peace. Nothing else will fill that void in our heart than the peace of God. You know, my wife and I did a puzzle a few weeks ago. It was during the school holidays, and we thought the kids would actually do the puzzle, get them off their devices and to do something as a family together. And it was this big, beautiful 1,000-word piece puzzle, and we were so addicted to it. Like, I would race home from work to go and, because I was worried that she was going to finish it before me, you know. And the other morning, I was doing my worship, my devotions, and thinking about the puzzle over there, thinking, oh, I could go and do a few more pieces while she's asleep, you know. And I'm over there, and I thought it was a distraction, but it became an addition to my quiet time. So the Lord spoke to me and He said, as you're looking over this puzzle, searching for the lost pieces, bringing them all together, that's what I'm doing in the world. The Lord's looking over all these broken pieces scattered everywhere, and He's bringing us together. You know, in these last days, a lot of people think things are falling apart, but God's bringing things together. This prophetic end time scripture is being fulfilled. God's putting the pieces together. And you know, there was one piece missing from that puzzle, and we still haven't found it. I reckon one of our dogs may have chewed it. I don't know. I've been looking out in the backyard. I haven't found it yet. But you know what? The Lord's looking down on us today. And he's wanting to unite us together. Where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. Amen. Your brokenness, he wants to put it together with the rest of the body of Christ. And you know, we need every piece in the church to be a healthy church, amen? Terry, you might think, what have I got to offer? How can I help this church? I'm not really needed there. I'm telling you, brother, you're needed in this church. You're a valuable part of the body of Christ, brother. You may think, oh, I've messed up too much. Old hairy legs, the devil might say, Terry, you can't go to church next Sunday. You did this mistake. You say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Get away, hairy legs. You are needed as a piece of this puzzle. Every one of you is needed. Paul wrote in Corinthians that we all should be functioning in our spiritual gifts for the building up of the body. Especially that you prophesy, he said. Every one of us has spiritual gifts and we're all needed as a part of this body. You might say, oh, it's only about Pastor Matt. It's only about the elders. It's only about the worship team. They're the ones that really matter. The rest of us really don't matter. That is a lie. We all matter. Everyone matters in this house. The youngest to the oldest. Doesn't matter what nationality you are. Doesn't matter how gifted you are at this or that. Everyone is a ten at something. You've all got spiritual gifts in your life and you need to use them for the building up of the body. So if you're not serving, if you're not playing your part in this church, I want to challenge you to step up and serve. Use whatever you got to build up the body of Christ. God's looking over this puzzle and he's bringing us all together. And we'll finish with this verse today, Zephaniah 3:17. The Holy Spirit spoke to me on Thursday about this verse and he wanted me to share it with you today. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He'll rejoice over you with gladness. He'll quiet you by his love and he'll exult over you with loud singing. Isn't that a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus? You know he's singing over us. He loves us. And as I read that verse this week, I had a picture of little Joshy when he was a baby. He was 3 weeks premature. He was a tiny, tiny little baby. He didn't walk till he was 2 years old. He was born with cerebral palsy. We prayed for his healing. We're still believing for his healing. Amen. And when he finally learned to walk at the age of two, he couldn't walk as fast as the other kids. He had a limp. He had to go through operations and surgery, you know. But you know what? He was such a little beautiful baby boy. Some of you remember him back then. And you know what? He'd run up to me and I'd pick him up in my arms and he would just snuggle up to me. He was such a tiny, skinny little baby. And I felt that's what this verse is a picture of. The Lord your God is in our midst, a mighty one who will save. You might feel like you're little, you're weak, you're short, you're small. Let me tell you, we have a good, good Father who is a mighty one to save. He rejoices over you with gladness. You know, when I used to hold my little son, sometimes I cuddle him when he lets me. Still. But when I hold him, I have gladness for him. I love my son. I love him. I rejoice over him with gladness. Sometimes when he's struggling with things, I'll quiet him with my love. I'll say, Josh, I know, you know, you've been through this, you've been through that, you've had an operation, you've been, you know. I'll quiet him with my love. And I'll sing over him. One night when Josh had had his operation a few years ago, in the middle of the night, he was in agony. We'd given him all the painkillers the hospital gave us. And I went over and I prayed over him and I hugged him. I said, mate, you're going to get through this. And I walked off and it was so hard to walk away from him, but I left him there. I went back 10 minutes later in the middle of the night to check on him. And I heard this little voice from his bedroom. singing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll sing, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And it was just such a joyful moment for me to see my son knowing where his strength comes from. Friends, as your pastor, as your shepherd, I'm urging you today to find strength in the Lord. Find joy in the secret place. No matter how painful things get in the middle of the night, no matter how tough your situation is, adore Him. Confess your sins to Him. Give thanks to Him. Pray in supplication and never, ever give up. In Luke 18, Jesus told the parable of the persistent widow. She kept going to the judge and saying, "Grant me justice." And eventually the judge gave her justice because of her persistence. And Jesus said, "In this same way, you should pray and never give up." Somebody say, never give up. Never, ever, 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 ever give up. Never give up praying for the prodigals to come home. Never give up praying for your family to be saved. Never give up praying for the one that you've been asking the Lord for to provide. Never give up praying for that addiction to be broken. Never, ever, ever give up. That's the secret of the secret place. Come to Him with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. Start your day in the secret place, and then walk with Him through the whole day, every day. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the guidelines of the Lord's Prayer. And Father, we commit ourselves every day to finding You in the secret place, to seeking after You with all of our heart. May we be known as a praying church, as a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. Would You revive us in our walk with You today? And Father, if there's any sin in this camp, if there's anything that needs to be confessed, we pray, God, that You'll confess it, because what You reveal, You heal. We pray for confession of sin and for purifying of the bride today. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I've got two questions before we close the service. Number one, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins? Have you been born again? In just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer where you can ask Jesus to wash your sins away. All you've got to do is acknowledge Him, that He died on the cross and He rose again, and submit your life to Him, and your sins will be forgiven. You'll start a new life as a follower of Jesus. You will be born again. If today you want to pray that prayer and get your life right with Jesus, I just want you to put your hand up real high and I'll pray with you today. Get on your brother, that's great. I see that too, that's awesome. We've got three over here. Anybody else? Up there, that's four, that's awesome. Anybody else? Get on your mate, I see that too, that's great. Anybody else? You want to give your life to Jesus? I see that too, that's great. Anybody else, you want to confess your sins and come to Jesus and have your sins forgiven today? That's you, just put your hand up real high. Anybody else? Okay, let's pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to You. Please fill me with Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's give these guys a hand that prayed that today. Why don't we stand to our feet? Pastor Chris, if you'd come up the front over here. And for those that just raised your hand, I want you to come over here, and Pastor Chris is going to give you a Bible and some information about following Jesus. Let's give them